You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Oakland to Ocala, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Hopefully you guys had a wonderful weekend. We're back at it for the next 5 shows, the next 5 days, the next 5 record-breaking mornings. Coming up this morning on the show, Antonio Daniels will join us, NBA analyst, 13-year NBA veteran, will drop on by. What is going on with Derek Fisher in his personal life? There's always something. I told you so about the Nashville Predators going back home. I'm sick and tired of these so-called hockey experts like Mraz.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Telling me about pucks when I'm the guy that's got it right. The Preds went home and blew the doors off the place. They had honky tonk, they had catfish, and they had goals beaten up on Matt Murray. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. We got our series just like I told you. Also, over the weekend, we'll get to how the small blocks and the young guns did their flag football meetings. With wins, those two would face off in the playoffs, and we would finally have revenge as Mr. Six prepares to torch Mraz the young guns deep for his prediction, 3 interceptions and 3 to 4 touchdowns. Will we see it? We'll get to that this hour on the show. But we begin with Game 2 of the NBA Finals last night, where I'll tell you, the Golden State Warriors would be much easier to appreciate if they didn't lack so much self-awareness. Kevin Durant has been fantastic. He's been sensational in these first 2 games. Durant's only the 4th player ever in NBA Finals history to have a 30-point game to go along with 5 blocks. The guy filled up the stat sheet. He's been a man possessed the last 2 games. And the Warriors are now 2 wins away from consideration as the greatest team of all time, considering they still haven't lost in the playoffs. But damn does this team lack self-awareness. And damn are they unlikable. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Durant with a drive over Love and James. He goes to the floor and banked it in with a right hand. Unbelievable. Timeout Cleveland. 7:17 to go.
They're a different team. You guys asked me what was the difference, and I told you, so they're a different team. You know, you go home, people tend to get more comfortable. You know, you're in your own bed and your own facilities and things of that nature. So, and for me, it doesn't change. I'm the same way on the road or at home. I still have this bunker mentality when it comes to playing ball. So, you know, we look forward to it. Our fans are looking forward to it. We know that. So, you know, we got to give them something to cheer for.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Warriors radio and then LeBron, obviously, following the game. The Warriors are just too much. And from an X's and O's standpoint, here's the deal. Everything that Cleveland does, Golden State does a little bit better. Golden State has been crisper. They've been better defensively. They've been more active. They've been more structured, and they've shot better. Everything that the Cavaliers have done, the Warriors have done slightly better to much better. And it doesn't really matter if you're going back home to play in Cleveland or not. You've got to out-execute them in something. And last night, the Warriors had 20 turnovers. But it didn't really matter, obviously, because they did everything else so well. They shot so incredibly well. They have such an incredible wealth of shooters and scorers. And the Cavs were equally as sloppy at times. So here's the deal. LeBron and the Cavaliers simply cannot outscore them. There's just no way. They have no ability to outscore Golden State. They've got to dirty the waters. They've got to muck it up. And here's one thing I don't understand. We have gone away from the hard foul in the NBA. We've gone away from the hard foul in the NBA playoffs. And I understand it's a different game played around the perimeter. But if I'm the Cavaliers and I see Kevin Durant coming in for an uncontested layup or Steph Curry or anybody, I'm saying put a body on him. At least shake them up. Because you will often see the Warriors create all of this space because of their shooting and spacing, drive to the basket for a layup, and the Cavaliers will just put their hands up, put their shoulders back, and uncontested give them the layup. Now, I realize you don't want to just stack fouls because then that puts you in foul trouble and that's stupid. And what we've also seen is a couple of terrible fouls where guys are not preventing the shot from going off. So if you're going to foul LeBron or foul Steph or foul KD, make sure you don't let the shot go up as well, so it's a three-point play. But the Cavaliers cannot allow an easy basket. Right now, the Warriors are just totally locked in from a comfort level. And I don't understand why Ty Lue is not telling these guys like Tristan Thompson, hey, man, when one of these guys comes into the lane, I don't care what it gets you, a technical, a flagrant, or whatever. Knock him the hell down. Because right now the Warriors are too comfortable. There is not a hard foul to be seen this series. And you know what? The Warriors are a lot of punks often. So they're not going to do it to LeBron. They're going to pick, 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 pick. They're going to chirp. They're going to taunt. But they're not going to body you up. Because Draymond acts like the tough guy, but he's the fakest tough guy going. He doesn't really want a battle. So the Cavaliers have to make life uncomfortable in some way, shape, or form. And going back home, you've just got to play this game of the 90s. And if you don't play the game of the 90s, you will lose. Because look, last night the Warriors had 20 turnovers. They scored 130 points. Imagine they had 10 turnovers. You're talking about a team that could score in the 140s. The Cavaliers simply can't catch up. So that's the X's and O's. The Cavaliers have to be better defensively. They have got to close better on shooters. They've got to be more disciplined defensively. They cannot turn the basketball over, and they've got to make shots. Kyle Korver, you've got to make shots. This is the only reason you're brought in. J.R. Smith, you got to make shots. Channing Frye, you've got to make shots. Iman Shumpert, you've got to make shots. And Kyrie, you've got to take a game over. I am so tired of the haters out there that keep saying LeBron didn't have that extra gear. LeBron didn't have the killer instinct. LeBron doesn't close. What the hell else do you need to see from this guy? Yesterday in the NBA Finals against arguably the greatest team ever, and that's what we're sitting on right now potentially, he had 18, 10, and 6 in the first half. 18, 10, and 6 in the first half. The guy has more triple-doubles than anyone in playoff history except for Magic Johnson. They've got 8. Everybody else has 2. LeBron's doing his part, but he needs some help here. So the rest of the guys are going to have to step up. And if they don't, this is going to be a 4-game sweep, and it's going to be pathetic. It's going to be very, very pathetic because there's been no drama in this entire NBA postseason. This is more of it. 855-212-4CBS. So why do I say that the Warriors are unlikable? Because they lack total self-awareness. Number one, Steph Curry on the sideline last night. You're in the middle of an NBA Finals game. You're laying on your back with a towel on your face as though you're taking in sun in Cabo. I would say kind of disrespectful. It's the middle of an NBA Finals game, and you're on your back relaxing with a towel over your face. And don't give me, oh, he wears a towel during the season on his head. Yeah, he's often looking at the floor. If they're losing by 10 instead of winning by 10, there's no way Steph Curry is on his back with a towel on his face acting like he's napping. There's no way. That's just disrespectful to the opponent. And thank God, Steph Curry, that you guys signed one of the greatest players of the NBA and a potential Hall of Famer in his prime. Because that gives you now the leash, now the green light to lay on your back in the middle of an NBA Finals game. Steph was great last night as well. But talk all you want about playing the right way, and the Warriors move the basketball, and the Warriors play unselfishly, and the Warriors are great. But if you're down 10, there's no way on God's green earth you're laying on your back with a towel over your face. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is the game over yet? Oh, this is so fun. You guys engineered the greatest team ever, arguably. So it's very, very nice that you can now just chill out and relax on the sideline. Number two, Draymond Green. I mean, this guy, first of all, on every obvious foul is griping and complaining as though it's not a foul. I mean, shut up. I would love to see Rougned Odor or Bryce Harper actually deck Draymond Green, because Draymond Green's never thrown a punch in his life unless it's a college kid at a bar in Lansing. But everything is, oh, what me? What me? What me? And then after the game, when a reporter has the temerity, how could he possibly do that? Asks, Draymond, have you been able to keep your emotions in check? Oh, my God, you would think that it was the worst thing he could have asked, a personal affront to Draymond.
Both you guys' general thoughts about the game tonight, but also, Draymond, I'm interested in your thoughts of you know, how you've been able to restrain yourself emotionally, you know, jeez, and avoid getting involved. Well, avoid, get, like avoid getting.
This, you act like I'm just this troubled, yeah, you know, guy cool, who's been, you know, in a bunch of trouble and can't control myself. And, you know,
yeah.
Jesus you've Christ.
Avoided going over the line, right, to get an AT so far, which is, you know,
you've been waiting on, you waiting on him to go across the line.
No, so I'm interested in what his, you know, how he's been able to do that.
I've just been playing basketball, brother. You know, when you got great teammates, you know, like I do, who, you know, allowed me to play with my emotions and, you know, allowed me to be emotional when I'm talking to them and use my emotions to the better for us, it's easy, you know. So just really trying to lead this team as much as I can in the ways that I do for this team.
And you should have seen KD's body language on the podium. It's like, oh my God, why are you asking this question? How could you be asking this question? Draymond Green got kicked out of the NBA Finals last year. This is a guy that has a reputation of kicking other opponents in the junk. This is a guy that has a reputation of getting teed up constantly. How could you dare ask me like I'm an uncontrollable savage? I don't know. He got kicked out of an NBA Finals game last year. Turned the whole series around. I think that's a totally fair question. I don't know. Last year at this time, you were getting kicked out of the NBA Finals. This year, you're not. Can you talk about the change? Oh, well, you're acting as though I'm some troubled child. You're just waiting for him to break. That's his history! The Warriors would be so much more likable if they had any self-awareness. Any. But they don't. And this has been the easiest, greatest 3 years for them, and they just think it's going to go into eternity, and so they can taunt, they can call LeBron this and that, and they can kick people in the junk, and then suddenly go like, well, why wouldn't you like us? What did we do things the right way? 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll come back and jump into your phone calls regarding last night's game two of the NBA Finals. Also, when we return, DA's brilliant hockey mind. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are are the glitch in the simulation.
This is Mr. Six. Mraz is a spitter. I can't respect that. You shouldn't either.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
How could you? We found out on Friday Mraz once spat on an opponent, called his mother a name, and then said, and if you hit me, I'll press charges. Nothing is as terrible as that when it comes to learning a sordid and awful history from Mraz and flag football. It's time for Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show and we'll answer it. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get your breakdown of what happened over the weekend of the Flag Football League. Did the Young Guns and the Small Blocks both do their part to move on to a playoff game and a revenge for Mr. Six for this weekend? We'll tell you coming up in just a little bit. But first, Brilliant Hockey Mind here. Last week, after the Penguins go up 2-0, Mraz, a.k.a. Don Cherry a la mode, series is over, series is over, series is over, series is over. Chuck in Nashville, supposedly a Predators fan. Series is over. I'm with Mraz. Mraz is right. Series is over. I'm going, can we at least wait until the Preds play a home game on maybe the greatest home ice advantage in the sport? Can we at least wait until then? Nope, can't do it because we've got to make a declaration right now. Series is over, DA. Series is over. You're going to be wrong. Series is over. Penguins are too good. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, they're just too good. They're too deep. This is an unfair fight. There's going to be no drama. I say, can we just allow a home game to be played by the Preds? And I guaranteed you last week the Preds would win game three. And lo and behold, what happened?
Now you'll see as the Penguins make a partial change. Up the left side, backhanded along by Watson for Gaudreau. Moves it with a shot. He scores! Frederic Gaudreau! 2-1 Predators! Arvidsson with the puck behind the net. Looks to get it out in front. They score! James Neal! Ahead now for Kunitz. He bumps into his teammate Kessel, and now a breakaway for Craig Smith. He shoots. He scores. Predators look to enter the Pittsburgh zone. Here comes Yarncroke down the right side, dropping it off for Ekholm. Fire. Score. Predators power play goal, Matthias Ekholm.
Kenny Albert on Westwood One Radio. 5-1 drubbing by the Preds. And then suddenly, looky here, the series has a completely different feel, doesn't it? Did you see that crowd? Did you see that party? They had 18,000 people inside that arena. They had 50,000 people outside the arena. They had 50,000 people on downtown streets on Broadway in Nashville going crazy, watch party, watching on the big screens, hanging out. You had people coming down there hours before the game with folding chairs and setting up shop for 7 hours to go watch the Preds. It was the biggest party in the NHL. And that crowd was rocking. They never sat down. And you could see as soon as the Preds scored a goal, the avalanche happened because they've got the momentum, they've got the energy, they have those fans. It was incredible. This series is so far from over, so far from over. And tonight, you're going to see the same type of energy. Does it mean that the Preds guarantee a win? But I'm telling you, when you get that team on this ice, it's a different squad. At least have we not learned to let a series play out a little bit when you've got one of the best home ice advantages in all of the sport in the entire league. The Preds have guts, the Preds have fight, and the Preds play off that crowd, and they did so over the weekend, and now we've got a 2-1 series, and it just teaches you once again, listen to me. Mraz watches Canucks and Ducks in January and thinks that that somehow qualifies him to declare when a series is over. Have you not learned anything? The Stanley Cup playoffs are brilliant because of this. There is no Warriors versus the world. It's always unpredictable. It's always competitive.
Yeah, all this means is the Penguins are winning in five and the Predators had their one night in the sun for Nashville to enjoy. But tonight, when Evgeny Malkin goes out there and scores two goals, when Gensel goes out there, the Penguins are going to win this game tonight. And that's it, and it's going to be Penguins in five, and they're going to close it out five. I want Nashville to win. I don't even like the Penguins.
I'm just so tired.
It's over.
I'm tired of your act. You're like Draymond Green, because last week it was, it's over. It's a sweep. It's over. It's over. And now it's, I mean, the Predators had their one good game, and now it's over. So You act like you predicted this was going to happen. You did not. You said it was over. There was no chance. There was no way the Preds were going to win a game 5-1.
It's over, meaning the series. So there's no way the Predators can win the series, which still holds firm.
So when you watched game three, you were like, oh, yeah, I thought this was going to happen.
I didn't say I thought this was going to happen.
Right.
Was I surprised they scored five goals? Yes.
Slightly, because you said the series was over.
Was I surprised they won a game in Nashville?
You were calling a sweep. You were calling it a sweep.
Bottom line is this. It's Penguins in five. We all know this. It's
yeah, but
over.
Last week it was Penguins in four. So I love how you just always move the goalpost. It's always like, well,
when they need to be moved,
happen.
They get moved.
I mean, it makes so much sense that you once spat on an opponent in a flag football league.
Didn't happen.
It makes so much sense. And frankly, we're going to get to the flag football league coming up here in a little bit, but assuming we get small blocks versus young guns, I hope Mr. Six torches you guys for four touchdowns, and I hope he knocks your block off, because you need to be humbled.
First of all, you're a former young gun yourself, which a lot of people don't realize.
That's right.
So you know how you sound right now? You sound like colleague Tiki Barber after he left the Giants.
Rich is in Detroit listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1270. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, DA.
What's up, buddy?
I called in. I wanted to basically talk about the fact that the creation of the three super teams has the two super teams and the one other team that can compete with them.
You talking about the Spurs?
The Spurs, yes.
Okay.
And then the 29 other league teams that are there to watch the three teams play. I think it has really jeopardize the integrity of the league. I think Adam Silver is a big outright liar, as he gave his State of the NBA address the other day and tried to defend this nonsense. And while I don't like either of them, I went for Cleveland because I could never go for wish that Kevin Durant even wins dog catcher after he made the most gross move that I've ever seen in sports history. To join that team is just such a cowardly move. I don't feel much sympathy for LeBron James because he brought it on himself when he kind of upped the Super League ante by handpicking his own super team. But I do think for everyone who out there who really feels like me or who really just wants to see this nonsense come to an end when it seems that there's no way for it to end, here's how it ends, D.A., is there's a real simple thing here. Cleveland, if they're going to lose this thing, which it kind of looks like it's going to happen, LeBron's got to take control of his own destiny again. He needs to make sure that Cleveland loses the next two games by 35 points or more.
Well, I don't think that there's any way to dismantle the Warriors. It doesn't matter what other teams do, because the Warriors still have two of the six or seven best players of the NBA and arguably three or four of the best 15 players of the NBA. So it doesn't, to me, matter what other teams do in trying to stack the deck. It matters what happens to the Warriors, because the Warriors are built like this. I don't think it really matters what other teams do. You can't match this. And I think there's only way this thing is dismantled, and that is if they win so much that guys want to leave to get their own money and get max contracts other places. And so if Klay Thompson and Draymond Green specifically go, we want our cash, we want to be the alpha male, we want to be the Steph Curry or the Kevin Durant of another team, that's how they're going to have to pick it apart. But if Kevin Durant wants to stay there and take less money to do so, or maybe both Steph and KD want all of the money, but you can afford to give those guys all of the money. I just don't see how this ends without Warriors championships consistently, because they're just that much superior to everybody else in the league. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, what is going on in Derek Fisher land? And we'll give you the update of how the young guns of the small blocks did over the weekend. Did it set up a revenge game? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Really appreciate what you do for us. I genuinely would love to hang out with you. That's how you make me feel. I'm sure that's how you make a lot of the D-Aliens feel as well.
D-A on CBS Sports Radio.
Doing more brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything that you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Klay Thompson. The Warriors, two guards, scoring 22 last night. Finally had a big game, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. Just the third time this entire playoffs that Klay scored over 20. Is that not amazing? And they have not lost yet. And the first time since he scored 21 in game 4 of the second round. So he went the entire Western Finals without scoring 20. He scored over 20 16 times in last year's playoffs. So 16 times last year, just 3 times this entire postseason. Pretty amazing. So the Warriors last night obviously looked tremendous in winning again easily. And there's only one thing that can change and alter this series. And that is the Cavaliers deciding to muck it up defensively and play this game at a snail's pace and play it in a frustrating fashion for the Warriors' flow and try to keep this thing in double digits. Once it gets into the one-teens, one-twenties, forget it. The Cavaliers just cannot match the firepower. It's the only way they can do it. And Steve Kerr admitted that Ty Lue made a lot of adjustments after game one and that a lot of them were very effective. But ultimately, the Cavaliers simply can't play a game of the 120s. There's just no way. So unless they dial this thing down and play it with a ground and pound type of attack, and I don't think the Cavaliers defensively are good enough to do so, it's going to be a quick series. And there is just there's an inconvenient truth about the Warriors, and that is that they were engineered. When they were a bunch of draft picks and savvy free agent maneuvers, it was impossible not to appreciate how they were built. They drafted Steph Curry. They drafted Klay Thompson. I think Steph was 6th overall. Klay was 11th overall. Draymond was 35th overall, I believe. I mean, so they just nailed those three picks. And then signing Iguodala and signing Sean Livingston and having Andrew Bogut last year, this year Zaza. It was just a perfectly kind of created team from an authentic, organic standpoint. And they won a championship doing it that way. And they won 73 games doing it that way. And then they added the best free agent ever to hit the market outside of LeBron James, arguably. At his peak, in his prime. And so now it feels inauthentic. It feels engineered. Because you already had a team that had won 73 games, and then you added one of the best players of the NBA. So it feels inauthentic. It feels engineered. And that's one thing we don't like. And I think that's still why a lot of people resent LeBron. People resent LeBron because he engineered a team in Miami that felt inauthentic. But here's the reality and why it's so different. The Heat were a garbage lottery team before LeBron and Chris Bosh went there. They were a bad team that had just had the second pick overall because they were so bad, and they took Michael Beasley. And then those two guys showed up and made them championship caliber. Had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook decided to leave last offseason and join the Pistons, it might feel engineered if suddenly the Pistons were the best team of the NBA. But that would be the equivalent. Go to a bad team, and look, the Pistons are even better than that. So let's say they went to the Suns, and Devin Booker was already there, and suddenly the Suns were the best team of the NBA. That's what LeBron did. Why this is so dissatisfying, I feel like KD should stand for completely dissatisfying, but with a K. Because you had a great team already, and then you just added more to it. You didn't take a bad team and then create a good team out of it, like the Heat were. You had a great team and then just made it totally indefensible. I mean, it's like giving the Empire more resources to build more Death Stars. You know? That's not really that fun for anybody. Like, they're just blowing up Endor every single day. I don't know what's going on with Derek Fisher. I don't know what's going on in his personal life. But my goodness, does anybody else remember when Derek Fisher was considered like the greatest guy in the NBA? He had his child who was dealing with blindness, right? And he was flying back and forth between LA and Utah as his child was getting all these types of surgeries in the middle of the NBA finals. And Derek Fisher was always this kind of incredibly warm, personable guy. He was always kind of the thoughtful piece of the Lakers. He was a floor general, a leader. Everybody had nothing but amazing things to say about Derek Fisher, and he just seemed like this guy could be a politician in a really good way. This guy could be a business leader. This guy could be anything. Derek Fisher just seemed to be like what's good in sports. And Derek Fisher has now had a series of the weirdest, I would say most messed up situations possible. Number one, we remember the Matt Barnes situation where Derek Fisher played with Matt Barnes for 2 years, then started dating Matt Barnes' ex-wife. They're still dating, and Matt Barnes wants to kill him, basically needs a restraining order so that Derek Fisher doesn't get his guts pulled out of him and showed to him like it's Temple of Doom. So he's embroiled in this really bizarre love triangle where crazy Matt Barnes is showing up at his party and threatening to kill him. Derek Fisher also then quickly hired like the day he retired from basketball to be a head coach, and then fired basically within the year. He was supposed to be this incredible young coaching candidate, and the Knicks hire him. Phil Jackson puts all of his trust in him, and Derek Fisher's kind of a mess. Fisher kind of can't coach his way out of a paper bag, and it's too much, and it's too soon, and he just looks like he's doing stupid things. And granted, the Knicks weren't very good, didn't have a lot of great talent, but still, there was a lot of moments where people around the league said he's not a good coach. So then he's fired. Now, he didn't have a job anymore. And then over the weekend, he's driving with his girlfriend, who is the former Matt Barnes ex, at 3 a.m. in L.A., with her in the car in the passenger seat. He's driving at 3 a.m., which, okay, usually you're not up driving around 3 a.m. unless you were up to something that night, but he drives, he lets the car drift all the way to the right, drives onto the shoulder, drifts all the way over, hits the curb, and the freaking car flips onto its roof and blocks two lanes of traffic. And they are in the car on its roof. They are thankfully okay. But think about all of the things that could happen there. And they escape. They unbuckle their seatbelt and escape and get out. Number one, you flip the car and you die. Number one, you flip the car and cars pile into you because you just flipped your car on the 405 in the middle of the night and you die. You flip the car and she dies and you don't. You flip the car and you die and she doesn't. I mean, it's just awful, awful potential there. They are so lucky. And the California PD comes over and says they believe he was drinking. So we got to wait to see what else comes out. But, I mean, that would kind of make sense. 3 a.m., you're both in the car. You flip the freaking car. I mean, this series of bad decisions and bad drama and bad stuff happening to him is like never ending. I mean, Derek Fisher, you're going to sleep with a former teammate's wife. You're going to be embroiled in like player drama when you're a coach. You're going to be quickly fired, and everybody goes, well, this guy's maturity is not where it needs to be if he's going to be a coach. And then you allegedly get drunk and flip your car in the middle of the night on the highway. I mean, what is going on with Derek Fisher? I heard a tease on the radio when I was driving yesterday, and it said, a former Los Angeles Laker is in major trouble. And I go, wow, okay, let me scroll through my catalog in my brain, and who would that be? My first inclination was Ron Artest. Okay, something happened to Meta World Peace. And then I said, well, maybe they're kind of loosely using this as a Dennis Rodman link. Okay, so maybe it's Rodman. And then I said, well, after that, who am I guessing? And I was not going to guess Derek Fisher because I would have figured this guy's on the straight and narrow right now after what happened. But now, like, that's the answer to the trivia question. What former Laker has the most drama around him? Derek Fisher. Over the weekend, we also had our answer in the Long Island Flag Football League. We had a wild card weekend where the Young Guns played a playoff game, their first of the season, and the Small Blocks played a playoff game, their first of the season. With wins, the two teams would meet in the grudge match of the century next weekend, Revenge 2.0 for Mr. Six and the Small Blocks after Mr. Six joined us here in studio on Friday. It turns out, the Young Guns do their job, and the Small Blocks do their job. So now we have our revenge game. Small Blocks, Young Guns, Mr. Six versus Mraz, and it comes your way this weekend. And was there ever any doubt in either one of your games, either one of those things tight?
Not the Young Guns game. Man, foot on the neck of the opponent, 23-12.
You're on that team.
Yeah, HMD never in the game. On the other side, Small Blocks won a game 18-14 where they missed all three extra points.
Interesting.
And in the post game, NWX, who lost the game, had a lot of speculation as to whether the refs in the league wanted Small Blocks, Young Guns, and they were kind of jobbed. So I obviously playing our game at a different stadium, I wasn't there to. I still have to go back and watch the tape, but apparently a lot of chatter coming to that clubhouse that the refs really pushed the Small Blocks through. So much so that this morning I woke up to a text message about the league trying to flex our game into prime time this week.
Flexing a flag football game?
Truth be told, they were looking to flex the game to Thursday night in prime time on turf under the lights to get more eyes on TV sets, if you will. But I don't know that the Small Blocks can accommodate that with guys working, so we might be back to the Sunday morning. But yeah, the league was trying to flex with Michaels and Collinsworth.
What is the time of this upcoming the revenge game?
It appears as if, although not set because there was some of this kind of fragile stuff, it appears 10:30 a.m. Eastern Sunday morning will be Young Gun Small Blocks. However, they did push for 9 p.m. Thursday night.
Gosh, I need to be there.
It's going to be wild. I mean, the crowd alone for our game without the Small Blocks there, I haven't seen that many people at a Young Gun game in a long time. We had, the sidelines were a good 43 people deep. And a
43,
lot,
that's a very specific number.
Well, I think we counted at one point, to the point where even late when we needed a stop to make sure the blowout would be intact, slight mumbles and chants of defense emerged from the sideline.
What was the score?
23-12. So
I don't know if that's a blowout.
It pretty much was. I mean, a little garbage touchdown late. We also we went for two and missed because we tried to go up 13. So really it was like 24-12. They missed two extra points.
So our, that's really like 24-14.
Yeah. And the crowd went nuts. We kicked a 46-yard field goal as time expired. They gave us the ball back with 18 seconds left at the end of the first half. I never heard a crowd like that go nuts on a field goal. A lot of oohs and ahs. And there's a lot of hype here.
So we're going to get the revenge game. Mr. Six has called you guys out. He wants you guys bad. He's bloodthirsty. He's going to torch you guys.
The team we beat yesterday shook hands and said, make sure you beat those guys. And the NWX team has already sent me several messages saying, we will be there on your sideline. You need to beat these guys. So Mr. Six has made a lot of villains, actually, since the interview. And everybody's pro-Young Guns heading into this game.
See, and everybody around here is very pro-small blocks.
Which is ironic, because I work with you guys.
That says something right there. It says a lot. Everybody around here is so pro Mr. Six. I mean, are you pulling hard, Velotti?
Oh, I'm ordering the jersey. I'm ready to go. I will be on the sidelines rooting for Mr. Six.
I got to be there. I've got to see if Wilkins is doing anything, because if we can get Jacob Wilkins.
And now he is twerking his face.
Maybe we can call this game and put it on Facebook Live and have a live broadcast of it.
Pot will be stirred. I think it'll be offered on multiple channels. The LAFFL looking to do it too.
Antonio Daniels, 13-year NBA veteran, NBA analyst, is going to join us next to talk about the NBA Finals. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.